Go back with me to Mark chapter 6. I want to begin this message with a couple of questions. And here's the first one. Does God change? I think that's a great question. Does God change? Has He changed? You know, He has no beginning. Try to dwell on that. I mean, you can't. He has no beginning. He has no end. No end. But over the course of time, has He changed? In Malachi 3, verse 6, He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So no, God does not change. But let me ask you this question. Has His message changed? His message. What He has to say to men and women throughout time, has it changed? Back in the 50s, He had one thing to say. What about today? Well, look right here in Mark 6. Look at verse 7. And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now look at verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Repent. That's what they went out and preached. That was God's message while the Lord was on this earth. Look at Matthew 4 with me. Matthew 4, verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was God's message while He was on this earth. That was also His message before He was on this earth. Now, I'm going to have you turn to a few scriptures, so you can just listen to some of these if you want to. But over in Ezekiel 14, you can turn or listen. In Ezekiel 14, it says in verse 6. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn. If you're looking at it with me, you'll see that yourselves is in italics. He didn't say turn yourselves. He said, turn from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. So that was His message before He came. That was His message while He was here. And it was His message after He left the earth and ascended back up to heaven. Go with me over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, just listen. This is the last book in our Lord's book. Okay? Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 says, to the angel or the pastor of the church at Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Verse 16, he said, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The message of repentance is his message. It has always been his message. It will always be his message. Repent. Our Lord said in Luke 13, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's serious, isn't it? So we all must repent. We all must repent. But if we're going to do that, if we are truly going to do that, we must understand what the word repent means. If we're really going to repent, we must understand what the word repent means. How can we repent if we don't really know what the word repent means? How can we do that? It is so vital that we understand the truth concerning repentance. Now, here's what I want to do. I want us to, in our text, see what our Lord had to say leading up to this. And then I want us to find out this morning, what is repentance? All right? Go with me back over to Mark 6. Verse 7 says, and he called unto him the 12, that's the 12 apostles, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. I just thought about that scene for just a minute. How precious that is. He sent them out two by two. Two by two. It is so good when the gospel goes out. If the gospel has to go somewhere, it's so good that somebody go with them. It's so good. Two and two. James and Matthew, I can see them going together. Thomas and Peter, Andrew and John, going out in different directions, spreading the gospel. A precious time. They had the encouragement of each other in the ministry. They had the promise of the Lord. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name. If they go into a place where everybody hates it, God sent two. He said, I'm going to be right there with you. Precious, precious. But he said in verse 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them the ability to perform miracles, cast out unclean spirits and do all these things. And he did that to prove the fact that this is the word of God. Peter, James, John, that's who we're reading right now. And we read this as though it is the word of God Almighty, because it is. That ability from God, though, it died with the apostles. The apostles, he gave them that ability. They could transfer it to other men. But when they died and when those men died, it was over. That was it. So if a man today claims to be a healer, if he claims to have power over, you know, I command you in the name, stay away from him. He's not of God. That's of something else. Just stay away from him. But verse 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Now, for a man who's called into God's ministry, there is a lesson here in faith and humility. There is. He needs to run with the message. believing God will provide for him. Don't be cumbered with all these things. You just run with the message, believing God will provide. He also needs to be warned of being overtaken by fleshly things, being covetous and giving other people the impression that he's a covetous man. Our Lord said, you don't need two coats. You don't need that. This is a wonderful lesson in all that. But our Lord is saying much more than that right here. He said, I'm sending you out to preach the message of life. That's what I'm sending you out, two by two. You're going to tell men and women the way. Do you know why we're here today? By God's grace, through His Word, we're about to find out what is the way. Okay? Everybody's searching for the way. Right? Everybody thinks I'm right, they're wrong. Everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks that. The truth is going to be revealed. Everybody is going to get to that judgment throne, and they're going to find out there is only one way. Now, how can we know what the way is? That's it. Doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter at all. I don't really care what I think. And if I think something and read otherwise, then I'm changing what I think. He said, I'm going to send you out and you are going to go tell people the way. That's what the word journey means right here in verse 8. He commanded them that they should take nothing for their way. Take nothing for the way. I'm going to send you out. You're going to go tell people the way. And you don't take anything for the way but the staff only. Only the staff. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what that is? Right there. You take that only. You preach the word. I got the word, and then a guy who has got his doctorate in some kind of doctrinal, I got a packet. I got the word in the packet. Throw it away. He said, you take the word only. Preach the word only. The staff of life. You know what the staff of life is? It's Christ. He said, I'm the bread of heaven. That's a staff of life. He said, you take the staff only. Take nothing for the way but Christ and His Word only. He said, I am the way. I am the way. We're all going to get before that judgment throne, and I'm going to tell you the truth right now. We don't have to wait to find out. We're all going to be confirmed. Christ was the only way. Christ was the only way. He said in verse 8, don't take a scrip. A scrip was a leather pouch. And it's where they kept their money and their food. It's where they kept everything that served and glorified the flesh. The Lord said, don't you go out and lie to them. I'm sending you out two by two. Do not go out and lie to them. Staff only. No scrip. Do not go to them and tell them that you have a message from me of health, wealth, and happiness. People love to pay their hard-earned money on billboards that say things that are not in the Word of God, and then they put dash God at the bottom, as though God said it, and He didn't. Do not go lie to them. God loves you for who you are. And God wants you to be so rich. And God wants you to be filled with everything this world has to offer. All He wants is for you to be happy. No. He said the message is repent. Isn't that what he said? Repent. Repent. He said, don't bring a script, don't bring bread. Our Lord said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is what makes bread rise. You put leaven in it and it'll rise. In the Scripture, it always represents this flesh right here. It always represents the pride of self, the sin of man. I show you leaven right here. I. That's leaven. Well, I. You want to hear unleavened bread? He. Well, he. But you see, he. Our Lord said, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You mix any part of the flesh with this message, you'll ruin the whole thing. You'll ruin the whole thing. Have you ever heard a man preach and thought, man, I'm going to tell you what, 95% of what he said was really good. It was just that last little bit when he put it back into everything up into that. I was like, amen, amen. But then right there at the very end, he just put it back into man's hands, you know. If he did that, he ruined the whole thing. Well, I'll listen to what I can get out of it and throw away the rest. No, he ruined the whole thing. The Lord said in Jeremiah 23, a message like that will not profit the people at all. That's what he said. So our Lord said, you bring the staff only. No script, no bread, no money in your purse. That word money means to hollow out, to lower. Do not go as a hollowed out vessel. Do not lower the authority and the urgency of this message. Do not bring a message that can be bought or swayed. He said in verse 9, you be shod with sandals. In Ephesians 6, Paul said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You be prepared to deliver the gospel of peace. And he said, don't clothe yourself with two robes. Don't do it. Into verse 9, he said, don't put on two coats. There is only one robe of righteousness for a sinner to wear. Just one. And that's the righteousness of Christ. You know what that means? In order to be accepted into the presence of God, we are all, whether we like it or not, whether we want to or not, we're all going to go stand before God. And he's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In order to be accepted into the presence of God Almighty, he must be pleased with the things we have done. It has to be perfect. It has to be right. What did he do? Right or wrong? Nothing but right. Well done. Now the problem for us is, this is what the Scripture says, every single thing we have done in God's eyes is a filthy rag. The good deeds are covered in pride. And that's the number one thing God said he hates. He said that before murder. Pride. Everything is a filthy rag. And every single one of those filthy rags must be burned. All of the eyes have to be burned. Every single one of them. The only deeds that God the Father is pleased with are the deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks at him and says, all he ever did was right. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If I try to add my deeds to his deeds, if I try to put on two coats, it all becomes a filthy rag again. It must be Christ alone. It has to be Christ alone. God does not love us for who we are. God does not love us for who we are. How could He? How, really? All we are is sin. Just take 5 seconds and do a little Rolodex. Roll back on your thoughts over the last 24 hours. What have your thoughts been? What has your heart been? This says, a crown of our head, sole of our foot, were wounds and bruises and putrefying sore. How could He be pleased with us? How could He love us for what we are? God does not love us for who we are. He loves us for who Christ is. All of the love of God. People say God loves and God is love. And it's true. I can find it in the Word of God. But here's the key to it. All of the love of God is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's love is in Christ. And all of my hope is in Christ. And that's where I meet the love of God. Right there in Christ. It all hinges on Christ. Every bit of it. We are accepted on His robe alone. That's it. So He sent His disciples to deliver this message. You go deliver this message. And verse 10 says, Mark chapter 6, verse 10, He said unto them, in what place soever you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. If they're willing to keep hearing the message, stay there and keep preaching it to them. Verse 11, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Man, our Lord is using some clear and very dogmatic statements right there, isn't He? He said, you preach Christ and His word. Whoever will not hear it, whoever will not believe it, whoever will not bow to it. The end of verse 11, He said, verily I say unto you, truthfully I'm telling you this, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Those men went out, and this is what they said. They said, dear brothers and sisters, we are dealing with a holy God. We are dealing with God Almighty. We are not dealing with the pushover Jesus that everybody is promoting today. Mercy, truth, grace, salvation is finding that out right now. Damnation, eternal judgment, all of those things are finding it out in that day. We are dealing with God Almighty, and we must obey His command and repent. Verse 13 says, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. What that means is their message was successful. It's amazing to me how the Lord can take His truth, and when God sends it out to a chosen vessel, when God plants a seed, it is successful. It is successful. Devils were cast out. That balm of Gilead was applied. Those who were truly sick became truly healed. Now, here's what I want to say to us this morning. Here's what I'm commanded to say to us this morning. We all must repent. We all must repent. Our salvation depends on our repentance. Our salvation depends on our repentance. Our Lord said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So before we walk out of those doors, here's what I want us to find out. What is repentance? What is repentance? What does God have to say about repentance? Not what do I think repentance is. It won't do me any good to think repentance is something if that's not what it is. God demands true repentance. So what does God have to say about it? Turn over to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here's the first thing we need to understand. A person who is just before God does not need repentance. Repentance is only for sinners. It's only for sinners. So the first thing that repentance is saying is, I'm a sinner. And I say it over and over and over again. Let me tell you what repentance does not say. I was a sinner. Paul said, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You want to start a fight between believers? No, you're not, Paul. I am. No, you're not. I am. I am. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. That's the first thing. That's where repentance starts. I'm a sinner. When the message is repent, the first thing that means is you and I must acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. That's not hard to do, is it? We're sinners. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I'm a sinner. So we must acknowledge to God Almighty that very thing. I'm a sinner. Now here's the second thing to understand about repentance. Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Although the world wrongly tries to make repentance a work, what must I do? Well, you have to do something if you want to be saved. You have to do something. Although the world wrongly tries to make repentance a work, the truth is, it's the exact opposite. True repentance is from dead works. What that means is a man cannot repent on his own. That's what it means. And I'll prove that to you in Hebrews 12. Look over at Hebrews 12. Verse 16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, Jacob and Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. If you have a margin in your Bible, it says, way to change his mind. Though he sought it carefully with tears. After it was too late. He was too late. He wanted that inheritance. He cried for that inheritance. He begged for that inheritance. But he could not bring himself to repent. He couldn't. He couldn't bring himself to change his mind. He couldn't do it. True repentance says, I can't, you must. True repentance turns sinners from dead works. That's what it does. That's what it does. It acknowledges, I'm a sinner, and I have no ability to help myself. None. That brings us to the third thing that God has to say about repentance. Go to Acts 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Buddy, you want to hear some wisdom? I don't care who the man is. We ought to obey God rather than men. He said, The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. True repentance is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Our Lord said he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I came to call them to repentance. I came to give them repentance. It's a gift and a calling of God. And just listen to this. This is Acts 11, verse 18. It says, When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. He's given it. He gave it. Who gets the glory in repentance? Who gets the glory in repentance? Romans 2 verse 4 says, It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. God does it. True repentance says, This is all a gift. It's all a gift. Every bit of it's a gift. This is all because of your calling. This is all because of your goodness alone that led me to Christ. Your goodness alone has turned me from my idols. You know where my idol? You know who my idol was? You turned me from my idol. Turned me from dead works to the true and living God. Here's God's commandment. Turn. That's His commandment. Turn. True repentance says this, Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. That's true repentance. We all must confess to God, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything for myself. And my only hope is in the goodness of your gift and your calling. That's true repentance. Now, our Lord said our salvation depends on that repentance, that changed mind and changed heart. Our Lord said it's not in our ability to produce that changed mind and that changed heart. But here's His promise to every single sinner that He chose to do this for, chose to give this repentance toward God, repentance toward Christ. And I'm going to close with this. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The reason I read that was to show you that it does not say the world. It does not say Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to every single person on planet Earth. He said, to them that have obtained light, precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's who he's writing to. Now, go to 2 Peter 3 and look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Every single sinner that God chose to give that faith to, put them in the right, that robe of righteousness, put them in Christ. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every single one of them. God in mercy is going to give every child of his a heart that cries, I'm a sinner. That's my favorite thing to cry. That's my favorite thing to cry. Because all through this word it says, Christ came to save sinners. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I can't do anything for myself. Nothing. And my only hope is in the work, and it's in the gift, and it's in the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is repentance unto salvation. Now let's all repent. Let's all repent. And then let's give God all the glory for it. Every ounce of it. Let's all repent and say, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything for myself. My only hope is in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you did it all, start to finish. Author, finisher, everything in between. All the praise and the honor goes to Christ alone. That command, when God says, you think it's so hard at first, he comes up and says, repent. That's his goodness to a sinner. You know, that's the mercy. He comes up, I bet you, from that time Jesus went forth and he began to preach and to say, you get to repent. You have been chosen to be allowed to repent. May God bless us all with the precious gift of repentance. All right, let's stand together.